One question about solar. Now that private sector is launching satellites, and some time back some people from the US had come to India about solar towers and through satellite. What do you think of that technology? And are you concerned about possibility of changing albedo if you do it in such a large scale? And also what Fran Fisher was talking about this morning about generating heat through absorption. And I have one more question to carbon capture and storage. We would have to make very sophisticated and detailed inventory of where we are storing the CO2 if we do it in such a large scale at so many countries. And some people in our country were worried whether it can do something to water aquifers and so on.
Okay. Yeah, no, that's an idea that's been around a long time, the idea of launching solar cells into space and using them on satellites to beam power back to the Earth. In fact, the first commercial use of the cells was on satellites, and it's been mainly the space, the solar space community that's been promoting that idea. The advantage is that you can generate electricity from the system virtually around the clock, so that that's the, yeah, the huge plus of the system. But my own view is that the economics are likely to be superior here on Earth, and you know that advantage isn't sufficient to offset the additional complexities of actually installing and maintaining a system that's so remote. I didn't catch all of the second question, but I did catch a bit about the heat that was...
Heat and albedo.
Yes.
Changes in albedo at the large scale. Maybe
yeah,
we make them white.
Yeah, we're certainly a long way from that being an issue now, but, yeah, you know, it's fairly easy to control the optical.
Do you think about a million, billion tons?
Finish the questions and then we move on to the next question.
Okay. Yeah, so, it's not an issue at the moment because the amount of photovoltaics installed in other solar systems is so small, but it's easy to adjust the optical properties of these systems. And ideally, the efficiency of the system improves with time as well, so that the heat is being converted to some other form of energy rather than being dissipated at the point of absorption as well. So that it is something that has to be thought about if you're going to supply all the world's energy from photovoltaics, such as was suggested by that German study. But it technically, I think there's many ways of addressing it at the stage it was an issue.
On the question of can you adversely impact upon aquifers? Well, yes, the answer is you can, and that's why you have to make sure you do this carefully. If you do this carefully in well-characterized sites, then you do not, because you have a thick ceiling layer between where you put the carbon dioxide and where your aquifers are. At the moment, the Otway project I was talking about is overlain by several aquifers that are used by the community. We've worked very closely with the EPA to confirm that it will not adversely impact upon the aquifers. But you're quite right to be concerned. We're concerned. We make sure that it does not happen.
Maybe a last question or two, one in the front and then one here.
Peter, just about the energy content of compression and storage. What fraction of the energy produced in a plant is that?
The amount of energy used in compression is relatively modest. It's probably the order of 5%, something like that. And again, it depends on how far you're going to be moving it and so on. But those are the sort of numbers. The greatest use of energy, actually, at the present time, is if you have post-combustion capture, and you have to regenerate your solvents, for example, and then that can add up to 30%. That's one of the things you've got to work on to make sure you bring down that cost of additional energy. It's much less of a problem when you have integrated gasification, combined cycle, and that sort of thing. It drops off considerably then.
Thank you all. It was really interesting. My name is Chris Robertson from Citigroup. I think one of the things that's really fascinating to me, and I suspect to some of the others, is you know, obviously comparing these, and there seems to be a resistance about governments picking winners. But Ziggy, you said that no country went nuclear without government involvement. And I was really fascinated, I think this is sort of the first time I've seen it, is that the reserves that was sort of implied by you, Martin, in terms of renewable sources of energy, given current existing requirements for energy, is like 0.02% of the total, whereas the reserves that that you indicated suggested that we were sort of at that limit in terms of describing how much coal, oil, and gas resources we have. Should Australia be more inclined to choose solar as a potential winner? Should an analysis like was done on nuclear be done for solar?
The view that the review took last year that looked at nuclear power and other options, and my own view, is that the proper role for government is to create a consistent framework and a level playing field, and then let the market decide on the technologies that it might want to support. We heard earlier today criticism of the current government and Labor Party policies that have said they support an emissions trading scheme, and oh, by the way, in parallel, we're going to mandate certain targets to be reached for renewable energies. And I think that is the reality of politics, but it is probably not good policy. So my inclination is not to look to government for guidance as to which technology should be supported. And that extends into nuclear power. I do not believe government should be there to provide financial investment or reassurance around the earliest reactors. But there is a role for government, and that is the setting up of the rules, the establishment of a regulatory regime, the establishment of a compliance and monitoring environment to ensure the safe, compliant operation of an industry. And as we heard in other sessions here, if a government were to be clear about the framework, the rules, the timetables, the expectations, we can rely upon the market and industry to, I think, land on the right outcomes.
Yeah, if I could just... I've got a slightly different perspective. You know, I agree that we need a level playing field, but I think you may need a little bit more because of the different scales of the industry and the time it takes to reach a comparable economy. When you're at a small scale, you obviously can't match the economies of an industry that's at a large scale. So I think there are measures that are needed to accommodate that point. Like if you look at the cost of coal-generated electricity in Sydney here, it wasn't cheap in the 40s. And it took, you know, it wasn't until the 50s that coal-generated electricity became low cost. It was only the huge efforts that went into generating massive generators and so on that allowed that transition to occur. So, you know, I think there's some positive measures required, as well as getting the playing field level is a good first step.